Today's passage from Mark 9, 14, 29 is a challenging one. The author of Mark tells the story of the demon-possessed boy in order to show that the battle with Satan is difficult and always present in our lives. Hear the words of Jesus' victory over sin and temptation that it can only be fought when we let go of our own preferences and allow Christ to help us with the battle. Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the Gospel of Mark 9, 14 through 29. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to the feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." This is an inspired word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
I'm going to try preaching from down here and see if the choir can hear me better. Choir, they sort of lose. Is it better down here? Okay, we'll give that a try. Something different. Keep you on your toes, right? So if you've looked at all outside, you have realized that for all practical purposes, spring has arrived. The grass is turning greener and greener every day as it rains day after day after day. We got that going too, don't we? The daffodils and the tulips are on the verge of flowering, at least in my yard they are. And I've heard that there are some people out there planting radishes and lettuces because they will grow even in this cooler climate. Who's got their winter coat sort of tucked to the back of the closet these days? Don't wear it much, right? Kind of tired of that thing, and so the winter coat is staying away more and more. When a new season dawns, there are changes that happen in our lives. We may add things to our lives, especially in the season of spring, be outside more as we enjoy the warmer temperatures, and we are shedding, you know, our winter coats and our just like a dog or a cat sheds its fur, we shed our winter coats and our heavier clothes, get out our lighter weight clothing, our brighter colored clothing, because that's what happens when we start changing the seasons. Letting go of the brown of winter for the green of spring is something that I know I enjoy. Spring is my favorite season as that green comes. There is no other green in spring like the grass that first comes, right? It's like this iridescent, almost green, that by the end of the summer does not even exist like that. It's kind of time for spring cleaning. I imagine some of you are feeling the urge to clean homes, clean out in the yards, clean out your beds, the places where things are planted. It's a good time to do that. And just a little side commercial moment. There is going to be a church rummage sale in May, so as you're cleaning out, put it in boxes and bring it to the church after April 23rd. Just so that's your moment of commercial. It's going to be going for mission work, so bring your extra stuff. Letting go is a natural part of the changing of the seasons of life. And in our seasons of life, we let go of many things. For those that are parents, when that youngest child goes to school, that might be the moment where you say, all right, we're going to let go of the baby bed and the baby toys and the baby clothes. I think we're done. And sometimes that has bit people in the butt a little bit, right? Getting rid of it and then, oh, hey, I guess God wasn't finished with our child rearing. As we get older in our lives, we start to let go of some of the things like a bigger home for a smaller home, a smaller, more accessible home. In our faith life, we let go in similar ways. Our faith goes through seasons of change as well. As we grow in our faith, we let go of, I just got to say that I got to move. I'll be right on the edge. That light's right in my eyes. I can't take it anymore. Sorry. It's giving me a headache. Sorry, I apologize. I'll do my best to make sure you can hear. How about, it's hot right there too, by the way. That light is really hot. So let me get back on track, sorry. As we grow in our faith, we let go of study practices, of prayer practices, of worship practices in exchange for prayer and worship and study practices that help us go deeper in our faith. By letting go, it allows us to grow deeper in our faith. And sometimes in that letting go of those things, we have to let go of some of our desires and some of our preferences in order to let God have more control in our life. The deeper we go with our faith, the more we're relying on Jesus Christ, and the more Jesus Christ comes in and out of our lives, mostly in, and helps us make decisions and interact with people. Our Bible story today from the Gospel of Mark is about Jesus helping the people around him let go of anything that prevents them from doing God's work. That's actually what this story is about. The disciples are not able to let the demon out. They don't pray hard enough, and the man doesn't believe hard enough. And so it's about us letting go so that God can do God's work in our lives. So many times we try to do God's work for God. And that's really what's happening in this story is the man wants to get rid of the demon, and he's trying to get rid of the demon, and so are the disciples, but they're not allowing God to do what God really can do in the midst of it. And so we see this conversation with Jesus and with the father of the demon-possessed boy. And in verse 21, Jesus asked the boy's father, he says, how long has he been like this? Jesus sees evidence of the boy. When the spirit senses Jesus' presence, the boy falls to the ground and starts convulsing, it tells us in Scripture. And so he says, wow, how long has this been going on? And the man says, it's been happening since childhood. Often it tries to throw him into the fire or throw him into the water to kill him. So have pity on me. If you can make this happen, the man says, if you can do anything, please do it, Jesus. And Jesus replies, we often see Jesus sort of almost rebuking and shaking his head at people because they just don't seem to get it. And Jesus says, if you can? So this man is saying, if you can, Jesus. And Jesus says, if you can? In a sense, he's saying, who do you think I am? Who do you think sent me? And then Jesus says, everything is possible for one who believes. These are profound words that Jesus speaks. Profound words that call us to trust, that call us to believe at a level that goes beyond really what our mind says we can actually do. To trust in God's power, and if we do that, then God can do amazing things. But the trouble with the Father, and I suspect the trouble with some of you or all of you, is that we believe, and at the same time, we don't believe, right? That's kind of happening all the time. That's why the man says, immediately the father exclaimed, "I do believe. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." So the man knows that Jesus can do this, and he believes that he can. At the same time, he believes that he can't. He believes it's not possible. This boy has been convulsing for so long that he can scarcely believe that God can do something in the midst of it. If you're here in this church today, okay, and you came to worship, you probably believe something, or you wouldn't be here. Okay? Right? I'm venturing to guess that you believe something. Okay? It's about coming and learning about more about Jesus and growing in our faith. But like the father of the boy, I ask you, what do you have trouble believing in? Okay? Because we all believe, and at the same time, we don't believe. That's just how we're wired. You see, we live in this life that is a paradox all the time. We believe and have unbelief. We see God at work in our lives and we have belief. And then we have times when God seems silent in our lives and it's harder for us to believe. We feel like things aren't happening as we wish they would happen. And so then we have this unbelief. It's what prevents us from really, really letting go of God, what God can actually fix in our lives. And we still try to control and to maneuver those things. The power that God has is one that we trust enough to let God do God's work. So letting go and letting God. When we truly let go and let God do God's work, God can do amazing things. My friends, where are you at in your faith walk? More important, where are you at in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you let Jesus guide your big decisions? Do you let Jesus guide your little decisions? Are you tuned in to the work of Christ in your everyday life? Do you talk with Jesus as you talk to your best friend in order to let Jesus guide your days? Think about your faith and what others might say about you when you die, after you die, in regards to your walk with Jesus. Will they say things like, she would always pray for me anytime I asked, or he was always willing to help his neighbors and help out in the church, and she had kind words for everyone? Will they say that about you? Will they see Jesus in you so much to say, this is what I saw of Jesus in him or her? Or will they say, boy, he always put up roadblocks for everyone in the church and in his neighborhood. She came to church every Sunday, but she complained about everything. Okay, careful about laughing out loud, because you're all thinking of someone, I know. He came to church, but he was mean to everyone in the community, didn't live his life. We are called to let go of our unbelief, so that Jesus can make us new again, make us new in a person that's living in Jesus Christ. We're to let go of our preferences and our ways, of the ways we think things should be, so that God can do God's work in our midst. We're called to let go of some of the relics that are holding us back in our walk with Jesus Christ, so that others can come into the midst of Jesus' presence. For in letting go of our unbelief, we create space. We create space for our own faith to grow, and we create space for other people to grow and know the Lord and to flourish in their faith. Letting go is hard. Praying the same way that we always have, or worshiping in the same style, hearing the same music, it all feels comfortable to us. And we don't like to let it go. And yet often those are the things that have caused us to stagnate in our faith, caused us to cease from growing in the intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Each time we let go of something from the past, we create space for something new. So the spring cleaning is about letting go of some of the stuff that we don't need and creating space for something new. In our church, it creates space for new people, for new ways of worshiping, for new ways of praying. And in the process, our own individual faith is made new as well. When new people connect with our congregation, we bring other people to Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to do, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We need to create space for them to come into our midst. And we need to let go of some things in order to make that happen. Remember what the man said, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." My friends, I invite you to let go of your unbelief so there is space for Jesus Christ in your heart and in your lives to help you go deeper with our Lord. Jesus wants to know each and every one of you deeply at the core of your heart. And you can only do that if you let go of some of the things that are holding you back and let Christ in and let Christ guide your life. In the United Methodist Church, we're not in the habit of doing altar calls. And some of you are going, "Oh, wait, she's doing an altar call." So I'm not doing an altar call because it's not exactly who we are as Methodists, but we should be that way. And so I invite you, if after the service you have some questions about letting go and about your unbelief, that you believe and you have this unbelief, I'll be right over here if you want to talk. I'm willing to talk to you and connect you with some ways to grow in your faith. Because that's how strongly I feel about you letting go and letting God into your hearts and into your lives. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are the source of our life. You are the source of love. You are the source of grace. And you want to dwell deep within our hearts and help us be the people that you created us to be. Help us to let go of whatever is holding us back from a deeper relationship with you. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Amen.